They've said, now don't throw the Bible at me. Don't just give me a scripture verse and tell me to pray. And I feel like writing back and saying, well, sorry, you asked the wrong lady.
Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. We have a group discussion today. Let's get started.
It would be wonderful if all day long I could maintain a mind fixed upon the Lord and the Spirit of God reminding me what I've read in the Word and learned at worship. But I have an enemy, and that enemy attacks my mind. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about the attack of Satan on the mind, as Satan deceived Eve. So your minds must not be moved away from the single-hearted devotion that belongs to Jesus Christ. What do we say to those who come to us as Christian counselors, Christian ministries? What do we say when they ask us, how do I protect my mind? Sometimes, quite frankly, I have been on the platform at conferences 5 minutes from preaching, and some of the most awful thoughts will come to my mind, and I know right away the devil's after me. Now, what do we do?
I think that turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, let me read those and then speak to that. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. I think it's critical to remember that those of us who name Jesus as Lord are still in the world.
And in the flesh.
That's right. That's exactly. And Romans 8 talks about that also. And so there is warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And Satan is the prince and power of the air. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I had thought as a young Christian that when Christ came into my heart, that Satan would no longer have access to my mind. But as you mentioned, Warren, speaking, I have found in prayer, on my knees in prayer, I will be praying and there will be thoughts that will come into my mind that I find shocking, appalling, disturbing. And I've come to realize that Satan has access to my mind. And he has the ability, if you want to view your mind as a screen, to run things across the screen of our minds. And when that happens, we have a choice. That choice is to leave it on that channel, that station of our mind, or it's to take that thought captive. And I have found this a powerful passage, both in my own walk and my role as a husband, a father, and as someone who does counseling, that when these thoughts come into our mind, to take them captive to the obedience of Christ. Pragmatically, what does that mean? To what we know to be true. Going back to Philippians 4:8, true, honorable, right, pure, love. Let your mind dwell, abide, live in these things.
Wasn't it Martin Luther who said that I cannot stop the sparrows from flying around my head, but I can keep them from making a nest in my hair?
Amen.
I would defy them to make a nest in my hair, but I get the point. Elizabeth.
Gary, I want to ask you, I'm sure that some listeners are saying, I know that scripture. I certainly agree with what you're saying, and that's what I want to do, but exactly how do you bring that thought into captivity?
Step one, I think, is to identify the thought. And a lot of times, the thoughts that give us the most problems are ones that are recurring. And they can take the form of emotions of bitterness, of resentment, of pride, things that we tend to feel deeply. A lot of our emotions have a visceral, almost a physical response. I think from our past history, we can look at ways in which we've thought that have eventually led to actions that didn't glorify God, that grieved us because we knew it grieved the Lord. A lot we can learn is from past history, and I think the best way in terms of how to live in a godly way in the future is to look at where I've come in the past, where God's brought me, patterns, tendencies, thought patterns that may bother one listener, that one listener may struggle with, may not be any problem for another listener. So looking at where we've come, identifying those patterns, and then when those thoughts come, be it one of pride, be it one of selfishness, be it one of rebellion, be it one of unhealthy anger, because I don't believe that all anger is unhealthy. I think there can be healthy anger. When we have identified characteristic ways that the adversary tends to deal with us, again, I find that Satan tends to deal with most people in some fairly similar kinds of ways. So most people that I work with know that they have certain weak areas, certain blind spots, in which when they are weary, when they're burned out, when they're discouraged, they are more vulnerable. And as we begin to identify those and even catalog those, then when those thoughts come, a little flag can go up in our mind. And the Holy Spirit, if we ask Him, can serve this function to remind us of this, and then take this thought and with the thought have specific truths. I find for
the
most...
The positive to counteract the negative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But not just positive thinking.
No. But the positive truth.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And specific truth. A struggle that I have somewhat today, I had much more as a young Christian, was I would take general Bible verses and try to generally apply things to my entire life rather than taking specific truths and applying specific truths, or if there's not a verse, there certainly is a principle to a specific problem. And many Christians that I work with, I find that's where they get discouraged. It's because, well, I quoted this verse or I gave this to the Lord, but they didn't allow the Holy Spirit to help them to distill the problem, distill the thought, distill the behavior, distill the habit, the pattern, and then allow the Holy Spirit through the Word with the help of a counselor, of Elizabeth, your teaching, or Warren, your teaching, or whatever, apply specific truths to specific problems. And I think that's where we experience victory and the adversary is defeated.
You think it's a good idea then, once you have identified whatever this wicked thought is or disturbing thought that comes in, once you have identified it, then in a simple willed act, perhaps offer that thing to God or lay it before God?
If I can get into this conversation at this point, because I've enjoyed hearing people say what I believe. There was a time in my life I thought, what's wrong with me? Here I am, you know, preaching and pastoring and writing books, and these thoughts come to my mind. What you say, Gary, is so true. I have learned in my own life that when there's going to be a big event, and the people who work with me know this, I get discouraged. I am a plotter. I am made for the daily plotting. The alarm goes off, I get up, I have my devotional time, I do my work, I'm a plotter. When there's a big event coming, it's always going to fail. Now, I've had to recognize this. Betty has to say, my wife has to say, now look, you know God's going to bring you through. We've been through this before. When I was pastoring, the church would have special things coming up. I knew that things were going to happen. They never happened. It's a part of my nature. My mother was quite a bit like this. If there was nothing to worry about, she'd worry about that. There was nothing to worry about, so let's worry about...
was one of those, too.
Was she?
My father was that kind, and my brother says that he's the kind who, if he dials a prayer, they hang up on him.
I get busy signals. So I've had to face this and say, okay, now, Lord, you know this is the way I am, and you made me. I'm not blaming you, but you made me. I'm going to face this and say, now, we're going to give it to you. The worst thing I can do is to try to suppress it. That only makes it worse. Gary would understand why it does, and I don't. I've got to take it out of the grave and say, here it is, Lord. Now, let's pray. I'm going to pray about this matter. And then He always gives me something from the Word. Always. When we've had critical decisions to make in our home, either my wife or I, we've had something specific from the Word, which is, to me, not strange. It's just so normal.
I think that so many problems in life, and when I was younger, I thought that complex problems, by definition, required complex solutions. What I've found as I've gotten older, and there are many advantages to doing that, and it beats the option, is that complex problems oftentimes have simple solutions. But I want to add that simple and simplistic are not synonymous. Many listeners might be thinking, well, this is simplistic. Well, simple and simplistic are not the same thing. Simple does not mean easy. something can be simple and can be difficult, can be excruciatingly painful emotionally, can take time. But I think that a lot of times we get our perspective distorted because we think, well, there must be a very complex, esoteric, theoretical, philosophical solution. And more I'm realizing that many times the solutions are rather simple. That's why, Elizabeth, as you used the word simply, that struck a chord within me.
Absolutely, Gary. I think that the gospel is the gospel. And I've had people write me a letter about some hugely complex problem in their minds, and they've said, now don't throw the Bible at me. Don't just give me a scripture verse and tell me to pray. And I feel like writing back and saying, well, sorry, you asked the wrong lady, because ultimately that is what I'm going to tell you. My son-in-law is a pastor, and he had a man call him one day, and he said, I got a huge problem. Can I come over and talk to you? So he came over. And in the first 5 minutes, my son-in-law realized that the problem was adultery. The guy was in love with somebody else's wife and all this. So he listened patiently, and when the man got all through, Walt said to him, is that all? And he said, what do you mean, is that all? And Walt said, but I thought you said you had a problem. He said, well, wouldn't you call that a problem? And Walt said, no. He said, you know what God wants you to do. You didn't need to come to me to tell you that.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.